finally, Cicero always stops gradually, while polio breaks off, except in the very few cases where he cleaves to a definite rhythm and a single pattern. In addition to this, you say that everything in Fabianus seems to you commonplace and lacking in elevation. But I myself hold that he is free from such a fault, for that style of his is not commonplace, but simply calm and adjusted to his peaceful and well-ordered mind. Not on a low level, but on an even plane. There is lacking the verve and spur of the orator, for which you are looking, and a sudden shock of epigrams. But look, please, at the whole work. How well ordered it is. There is a distinction in it. His style does not possess, but will suggest, dignity. Mention someone whom you may rank ahead of Fabianus. Cicero, let us say, whose books on philosophy are almost as numerous as those of Fabianus. I will concede this point, but it is no slight thing to be less than the greatest. Or Asinius Pollio, let us say. I will yield again, and content myself by replying, it is a distinction to be third in so great a field. You may also include Livy, for Livy wrote both dialogues, which should be ranked as history no less than as philosophy, and works which professedly deal with philosophy. I shall yield in the case of Livy also, but consider how many writers Fabianus outranks if he is surpassed by three only, and those three the greatest masters of eloquence. But it may be said, he does not offer everything. Though his style is elevated, it is not strong. Though it flows forth copiously, it lacks force and sweep. It is not translucent, but it is lucid. One would fail, you urge, to find therein any rugged denunciation of vice, any courageous words in the face of danger, any proud defiance of fortune, any scornful threats against self-seeking. I wish to see luxury rebuked, lust condemned, waywardness crushed out. Let him show us the keenness of oratory, the loftiness of tragedy, the subtlety of comedy. You wish him to rely on the pettiest of things, phraseology. But he has sworn allegiance to the greatness of his subject and draws eloquence after him as a sort of shadow, but not of set purpose. Our author will doubtless not investigate every detail, nor subject it to analysis, nor inspect and emphasize each separate word. This I admit. Many phrases will fall short, or will fail to strike home, and at times the style will slip along indolently. But there will be plenty of light throughout the work. There will be long stretches which will not weary the reader. And, finally, he will offer this quality of making it clear to you that he meant what he wrote. You will understand that his aim was to have you know what pleased him rather than that he should please you. All his work makes for progress and for sanity without any search for applause. I do not doubt that his writings are of the kind I have described, although I am harking back to him rather than retaining a sure memory of him, and although the general tone of his writings remains in my mind, not from a careful and recent perusal, but in outline, as is natural after an acquaintance of long ago. But certainly, whenever I heard him lecture, such did his work seem to me. Not solid, but full. The kind which would inspire young men of promise and rouse their ambition to become like him, without making them hopeless of surpassing him. And this method of encouragement seems to me the most helpful of all. For it is disheartening to inspire in a man the desire and to take away from him the hope of emulation. At any rate, his language was fluent, and though one might not approve every detail, the general effect was noble. Farewell. Letter 101. On the Futility of Planning Ahead. Every day and every hour reveal to us what a nothing we are, and remind us with some fresh evidence that we have forgotten our weakness. Then, as we plan for eternity, they compel us to look over our shoulders at death. Do you ask me what this preamble means? It refers to Cornelius Senecio, a distinguished and capable Roman knight whom you knew. From humble beginnings, he had advanced himself to fortune, and the rest of the path already lay downhill before him. For it is easier to grow in dignity than to make a start, and money is very slow to come where there is poverty, until it can create